Good evening. What a blessed people we are to serve a risen Savior. And as our brother said, we have a Savior to offer to the world who is alive. The tomb is empty. Jesus lives after the power of an endless life. And because He lives, the Bible says that we will live also. Because Jesus lives, because He rose from the dead, the Bible said that we are justified. He was delivered for our offenses, but He was raised again for our justification, that we might be declared righteous by God. And we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord that because He lives, there is the offer of new life. And this evening I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. As we talk about new life in Christ. New life in Christ. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, my wife and our two younger children. It's always good to be in Spanish Well, to be able to minister in the gospel and to minister to God's people. And we thank God for that opportunity this evening. Luke's Gospel chapter 5, we'll begin at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And that they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Just drop down a little to verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, and Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him, and because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, what to say, rise up and walk? For that ye may know that the Son of Man had power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. The Lord is able. The Lord is able to bless the reading of his holy and precious word. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you so that as we read this story, so that your spirit has begun to work in the hearts of the hearers. And it's our prayer, O God, and we know that you are present here to heal. Heal the souls of men and women and young people that are sick. And we pray that you would do that even tonight. We pray that you will get all the glory and all the praise. And we pray that you will draw individuals to you this evening. Because we acknowledge that it's not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit. Amen. New life in Christ. New life in Christ. 34 times or more the word life occurs in the Gospel of John. In fact, it is the key word, many believe, of the book. And you cannot read through its pages without seeing quite clearly that the purpose for which Jesus came into the world was to bring life and life more abundantly. That's what he said. Jesus said, I am come that ye may have life and that you might have it more abundantly, with meaning, with purpose. But what does he mean by meaning and purpose? More abundant than what? Bible, or we look around us, there is plant life. There is animal life. There is human life. But Jesus is talking about spiritual life. A life that is qualitatively different than animal and human and vegetable life around us. Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life. And Jesus, in saying this, was declaring himself to be the source of life. The Bible says, and he says, and him was life, and the life was the light of men. And my friend, I'm here to say to you this evening, as we will celebrate the resurrection, the whole purpose of Jesus coming into the world, the whole purpose of Jesus going to the cross, the whole purpose of the resurrection, my friend, is that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And the question to you this evening, do you have this life? Do you have this quality of life? Eternal life, and not only a quantity of life, but it is a quality of life. When Jesus comes into your life, you are not the same. You are changed. He makes you different. He makes you new. And so the question is, do you have this life? But the second question, if you don't have this life, how can you get it? How can you receive this life? And the passage I read to you this evening, we want to look at some things and some things that you have to recognize and the realization in your life in order to have this abundant life, in order to have this new life that Jesus came to offer, in order to have the life of Jesus Christ in you, there must be some things that you must recognize. And my friend, as I finish sharing some of these things, I'm going to invite you to trust Christ as your Savior and your Lord, that you too might have this life that many of us in here have, that I know that I have without a shadow of a doubt that I have this life. This eternal life, this quality of life, this life that have changed my life, that have revolutionized my life, that made a difference in my life. And so as you look at the passage before you, I want you to note verse 8. My friend, before you can experience new life in Christ, there must be the recognition of who you are. When Peter saw it, when he saw the draught of fish that he had caught, when he saw it, he fell on at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." In order to experience new life, you must come to the realization or you must recognize who you are as far as the Bible is concerned. The Bible says you are a sinner. Peter recognized that, and for many people this is a very difficult. It's very difficult because we have a distorted view of who we are, and that we look at ourselves as being basically good. And as we look at other people and we begin to compare ourselves with other people, we begin to say, well, I'm better than her and I'm better than him. I'm not as immoral as he is or she is. And we begin to categorize sin as the Pharisee did in Luke chapter 18. He says, the Bible said that he stood up to pray thus with himself, "I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterer, or even as this publican." And many people, and maybe I'm speaking to someone here this evening, you see yourself as basically a good person, and maybe you are. You are a moral person. And maybe you look at other people, and maybe you even look at Christians, and say, well, if they are Christian and they know Christ, and they are not better than I am, or not living better than I am, I don't need to trust Christ as my Savior. But my friend, there is a difference between you and the believer. The believer has trusted on Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And as the sisters sang here, you have to understand that God is still working on us. We are not perfect, but we are striving for that. But my friend, in order for you to experience the new life that Jesus Christ has come to give you, there must be a recognition of who you are. That you are a sinner, that you are lost. And that you cannot compare yourself with others and their faults and their shortcomings. And then we tend to take a look at, sometimes people tend to think about what they do that makes them good. The Pharisee says, "I fast twice in the week. I give tithe of all I possess." Maybe there's someone here, you're a very good person. You're a very giving person. You're a very caring person. You're a very kind person. And maybe you attend all the meetings of this assembly. Maybe you go to the meetings of the other local churches here on the island. You are a very good person as far as you are concerned. But my friend, you must realize the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saves us. There's nothing that you can ever do that can qualify you and that can make you right with God. You must recognize who you are. The Bible says that you are a sinner. And sometimes people tend to look at themselves and they begin to measure, as I said, themselves with others by what they do and what they don't do. And then they say, "I'm all right." But as far as the Bible says, you are not all right. And I believe maybe this was Peter's problem as well. This was not Peter's first time and first encounter with Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel chapter 1, the Bible says Andrew met Jesus along with John. And the Bible says the first thing that Andrew did, he went and got his brother Peter and he brought him to Jesus. And Peter heard the words of Jesus. He heard Jesus spoke. But maybe Peter said, "Lord, that do not apply to me. I go to the temple. I give my tithe. I worship at the appointed time during the year. I give and I help the poor. I am basically a good person," Peter could have said. But then this day, Peter came to realize that he was not the good person that he thought that he was. And he realized how far he was from the kingdom of God. And that he was a sinner. And before Peter, before Simon could become Peter the rock, before Simon could become Peter the disciple or the apostle, before Simon could become the one who preached on the day of Pentecost and thousands came into the kingdom, Simon Peter had to realize that he was a sinner. As great as the apostle Paul was, he had to come to the point and realize that he was a sinner. As great as Martin Luther, the great reformer was, he had to come to the point to realize that he was a sinner. And so my friend,
In order to experience the new life that Jesus Christ offers to you, the abundant life, the life with purpose, you must come to the realization that you are a sinner. But the Bible says all have sinned. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who have been right, who was born in right standing with God apart from Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But Peter recognized that he was a sinner. He had to recognize that before he could experience new life. I remember some years ago, and I often tell the story because I like to emphasize this point so people can understand. I was in the YMCA in Freeport, Grand Bahama, with something called the Four Laws. And the first law says, God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life. And a karate instructor came out with his kids going to take them to the water fountain. And he read that and he said, I agree with that. But law two says that man is a sinner and separated from God. Therefore, he cannot know and experience God's plan for his life. And he said, I don't agree with that. And I had to say to him, sir, maybe you don't agree with that, but that's what the word of God says. He turned and walked away. And there are some people who are like that. They think they're all right. And they see God as only the God of love, and which he is. The Bible says that. But he's also a God of righteousness and judgment. All you have to do is read the Old Testament. See Sodom and Gomorrah. All you have to do is read Peter as he talked about the judgment of God upon the angels. God loves you, yes. God loves me. But my friend, God is a God of judgment, and God said he pronounced the judgment. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. And all to experience this new life, my friend, that Jesus came to offer, there must be a recognition of the fact that you are a sinner. That you have sinned. That you are a sinner not only by practice, but by nature you were born that way. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, the Bible says. All have sinned. And so in order to experience a new life, there must be a recognition of who you are. Peter recognized who he was. He was a sinner. But the second thing in verse 8 that Peter recognized, he said, be merciful. He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He said, oh Lord, there must be a recognition of who Jesus Christ is. Of who Christ is. In verse 4, Peter says, and referred to Jesus as Master. Master, he says. And Master sometimes can be translated the whole idea of Rabbi and ruler. But I believe he is emphasizing the Rabbi aspect of the life of Jesus Christ. Of verse 5, rather. He said Master. But then we come to verse 8. Peter moves from this mere ascribing to Jesus a mere teacher attitude or person. He recognized him as Lord, the ruler, the one who is sovereign over all things, the one who is in control. What made Peter change his mind? What gave him a different perspective? I think basically two things from the passage. The words that Jesus spoke. Changed his mind. Verse 2 tells us that Jesus, verse 3 says, he sat down and he taught the people. He taught the people. The people said of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did not teach the scribes and the Pharisees, but as one who had authority. The Bible says, Jesus said, the soldier said unto him, never man spake like this man. Jesus says, the words that I say and speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There was something that Jesus said that might have pricked Peter's heart. The Bible don't tell us what Jesus said and what he taught. But Peter was sitting there on his boat, on his ship, and he's hearing these wonderful words that Jesus was sharing with the people around him. And it pricked his heart when he realized, hey, I am a sinner, but as I listen to this man, this is not an ordinary man. This is a special man. And he came to realize, and God the Father revealed it to his spirit, revealed it to his mind, that this is the Son of the living God. The word that Jesus spoke moved him. And as you and I read the word of God, Jesus said some wonderful and powerful things that people are still still being moved by. Jesus says, he spoke with the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed, he said, are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He says all of these things. And people's hearts were blessed. People's hearts were encouraged. My friend, Jesus wants to give you peace. Jesus wants to give you joy. Jesus wants to come into your life and change your life. Jesus says, come unto me, all you are labored and I heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you tired of sin? Are you tired of struggling through life? Are you tired of someone said of paddling your own canoe and I'm getting lost in the process, in the process? Jesus says, come unto me. He says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. He says, take upon you me. Take upon you my meekness. Take upon you my joy. Take upon you, my love and my grace. You can have it. He says, come and learn of me, so I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. My friend, I ask you, do you want rest? Not just physical rest, spiritual rest in your life. Are you tired of struggling against God? As Jacob was. He was struggling, he was fighting and fighting and fighting, and finally he realized he just stopped. He stopped. It wasn't that he stopped struggling with God that he found who God really was, and he experienced the power of God and the touch of God. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to stop struggling. He wants you to stop fighting and allow him to touch you. To touch your life. Never be changed. And Jesus said, if not the greatest verse in the world, in the scriptures, at least in the top two, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him did not perish, but have everlasting life. There is nothing more comforting to know that God loves you. For God so loved you. Whatever your name might be this evening, God loves you as an individual. Paul understood this. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But he said, Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And gave himself for me. Jesus loved you as an individual. With all of your faults, with all of your shortcomings, with all the mistakes that you have, with all the baggage in your life, Jesus loved you. Jesus. Peter must have heard these words. Jesus spoke words of love and comfort to the people. The words that Jesus spoke caused Peter to understand and realize who Jesus was. You are Lord, you are Adonai, you are sovereign. But not only the words that he spoke, the work that he performed. Peter's a fisherman by trade, and most of you are in here. And they were fishing all night. The Bible says, and they caught nothing. And Jesus steps into his boat after he finished speaking to the people, says to Peter in verse 4, launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for them. Let it down. And Peter, having met Jesus before, probably knew that Jesus' background was a carpenter. And he says, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. And he might have, maybe have his heart and his mind. I'm a fisherman, you a carpenter. And you're trying to tell me where to go to get this? But he says, nevertheless, at your word, we need to understand that you need to understand, my friend. At Jesus' word, a life can be changed and revolutionized. At Jesus' word, your life can be changed and revolutionized. Peter will never be the same, would never be the same after he bowed to Jesus. He said, nevertheless, at your word. And the Bible says, as he did that, he launched out, dropped his net, and was filled with fish. So much so he had to call for help. He had to call his partners to come and help him. Come and help him. Because he probably knew at that time of the day, fish don't hang around in that area. Maybe he fished all night in that area. And he knew that this fish don't be there. But all of a sudden, because this man said, launch out. There was this great chaos. There was this Peter recognized that this is not an ordinary man. The word he spoke, the works that he performed. If you go to the chapter, and we're going to be dealing with the leper, he heals the leper. He healed the man of palsy. If you go to the scriptures, you see Jesus touching blind Bartimaeus. You see Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. The widow named son, Jairus' daughter from the dead. He fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. This is the Son of the living God. This is Jesus Christ, the one whom John said about him, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus, the Son of the living God. This is Jesus, whom the Bible says holds all things together by the word of his power. This is Jesus who made all things, the Bible. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Peter recognized who Jesus was. My friend, if you want to experience new life, you must recognize that Jesus is the sovereign Lord of the universe. Peter recognized that. And you must too, if you want to experience new life. Recognize that you are a sinner. Recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. But the third thing in my passage, chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, not only must there be a recognition of that you are a sinner and Jesus Christ is Lord, but there must be a realization that only Jesus can cleanse from sin. Only Jesus can cleanse you from sin. Our brother said that he was emceeing. There was a lot of prophets in bygone years. Muhammad, there's Buddha, there are many others. There's this, Moon today, who say he's Christ reincarnated. All kinds of men down through history who have come and gone, but they are dead. They lived and they died, and they never claimed that they were the way to God. They never claimed that they were the only one that, and through the only one that you could experience cleansing from sin. And the Bible says in verse 12, the man came unto Jesus. In chapter 5, behold, the man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Leprosy in the scriptures is a type of sin. Matter of fact, leprosy means scale or scab. It's a type of sin. One of two things that leprosy does or did back then. It separated the individual from his community, from his family, from his children, and from his wife, from his friends and his neighbors. It separated the individual from entering into the house of God to be able to worship. And that's what sin does. Your iniquity, the Bible says, has separated you from your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. When you and I go into the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that there is a holy of holies. And the Bible tells us that the high priest Aaron went in there but once a year. It was separated from the holy place by a veil. And Aaron went in there once a year. And that veil speaks to us that man could not enter into the presence of God where the Ark of the Covenant was, but spoke of the presence of God in the midst of his people. He was separated from them. Even though he was in the midst of them, they could not readily walk into his presence because of the sin. And Aaron went in there once a year with the blood for the atonement of the people of God. And so our sin, your sin, has separated you and me from God. Separated. And that's what sin does. Doesn't matter, as I said, no matter how good you are, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, you are separated from your Creator. You are a sinner, and you are far off. only that leprosy separated, leprosy tended to infect almost, it tended to permeate the entire body of the individual. It just spread right through and infected any part. Nose and fingers and everything else. It was terrible. And Paul tells us in the book of Romans chapter 3 that sin has affected every part, has affected and infected every part of man. Paul, he says in verse 11, the understanding has been affected. Paul says in Ephesians that the understanding has become darkened. And he goes on to say, Paul in Romans chapter 3, that the mouth and the lips and the throat, he says, the tongue, he says the feet in verse 15, and then he says the eyes have been affected by sin. By sin. In other words, sin blinds you to the reality, true reality, of who Jesus Christ is and your need for him. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are blind, who are veiled, whom the God of this world has veiled their mind, their understanding. And so sin, leprosy is a type of sin that separates and that has infected the minds and the hearts of individuals. But I thank God. God laid out a plan in the Old Testament. They ran a person who was infected with leprosy and they were cured. They could come to the priest and there was a remedy that God had prescribed. In Leviticus chapter 14, the priest was to take two living birds along with some cedar wood and some hyssop and scarlet. And he was to take one of the birds and he was to kill the bird and drain out his blood with the water. And then he was to take the live bird with the hyssop and the scarlet and cedar wood and dip them in the dead bird's blood. And then he was to take that blood and sprinkle it 7 times on the leper, pronouncing he was clean. And then he was to let the live bird free. Does that inspire, right? This is symbolic of the sinner. When a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus and repented in faith today, the bird that died represents the death of Christ. And the bird that lives represents the resurrection of Christ. It's reckoned to the account of the individual. My friend, Jesus Christ, the one who is the Lord, who Peter recognized as the Lord, is the same one who went to Calvary to die for your sin and for my sin. That his blood may be applied to your life, that you might experience this new life that I'm talking about. Yes, as I said at the beginning, he was offered for your offenses, for my sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. No guy was found in him. He was the righteous son of the living God. He said to Pilate, or Pilate said of him, I find no fault in this man 3 times over. The centurion said, surely this was the son of God. The thief on the cross said, this man has done nothing amiss. He did nothing amiss. He did nothing wrong. And the scripture tells us, in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. The Roman law, the highest authority in the land, that he was innocent. There was no fault to be found in him. But Jesus died, my friend, and the blood of Jesus Christ might be applied to your life, and you might be cleansed from all sin. That you might no longer be afar off, but that you might be brought nigh to God. The Bible tells us, those of you which were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. God's Son. That he might cleanse you. And the bird that lives spoke of the resurrection. And he's talking about the resurrection. Jesus lived after the power of an endless life. And because of the resurrection, as I said at the beginning, he was offered for our offenses. But he was raised again that you and I might be justified, that you, my friend, might be declared righteous by God. Not that you are righteous in yourself, but that God will clothe you in the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. As William McDonald always puts it, my friend, God will make you fit for heaven the moment you believe on Jesus Christ. That's justification. That's justification. When God looks at me, he sees me clothed in the righteousness of his Son. My friend, if you want to be that way, you need to understand that Jesus Christ is your only remedy to be cleansed from sin. This leper came to him
And he cried out, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. My friend, Jesus said, be thou clean.
Jesus wants to make you clean. He wants to make you right with God. He wants to cleanse you from all your sin. Maybe someone is here and think, oh, I'm not good enough. There are some things that I've done in my life, Brother Kevin, you don't know about. God knows. And that's why Jesus died. Jesus died. So that you have, whatever sin you might have committed, my friend, his blood can be applied to it, and you can be cleansed. Recently, a few weeks ago, I was listening to an interview on TV. Dr. James Kennedy, after his program, was interviewing, I think, Son of Sam. Some years ago, David Berkowitz was known as Son of Sam. He was a serial killer. And he was caught, and he was sent to prison for life. With no hope of parole, he's going to be in there for the rest of his life. And he said that one day in the courtyard, someone walked up to him and said, God loves you. And he said to the person, how could God love me? All the things that I have done, the murders I have committed, how could God love me? And he pushed the person away, that God can't love me. But the person gave him a New Testament. And he began to read it. He began to read it. And he came to realize, he came to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, having included David Berkowitz, a Jewish boy, came to meet the Jewish Messiah in prison, and his life has been changed because he realized that Jesus died for him, and that no matter what he did, the murder that he did, and all the things that he did, Jesus could forgive him. And now he is talking with people, calling him in prison. He's writing people and sharing his faith with them. He said, it doesn't matter if people don't believe I'm changed. It doesn't matter. He said, I know I'm changed, and Jesus Christ has cleansed me. He has forgiven me of all of my sins. The Apostle Paul, if he was here, can tell you that I was a blasphemer. He said, I was an injurious man. Paul was there consenting to the death of Stephen. They laid Stephen's clothes at Paul's feet. Paul was a murderer. Do you have any murderers in here? Maybe by the tongue, but I don't think with a knife or a gun. And Paul experienced the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin. And we have never, the church has never had a greater evangelist than the proclaimer of Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. He was forgiven. He was cleansed. He was separated from God. He was brought back in right relationship with God. And God can do the same thing to you. Not the realization, my friend, but only Jesus Christ, through his shed blood on the cross, can cleanse you from all of your sins. All of your sins. Jesus can cleanse, and he's able to cleanse you. You can be forgiven of sin this evening. And he wants you to be. The question is, do you want to? Do you want to be cleansed? Do you want to be forgiven? Is it only must there be the recognition of who you are, who Jesus Christ is, and the realization that only Jesus can cleanse and forgive the sin? Fourthly, there must be a realization that only Jesus can forgive sin. Again, we have that, talked about that cleansing with a little bit just to bring it home to our heart. And the story as before us in verses 18 to 20. The man who was sick with the palsy. This man, some believe, was sick because of some type of sin in his life. His friends brought him to Jesus. And the Bible tells us that they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd, because of obstacles. And so they went up on the roof and they let him down. And Jesus looked at him. The Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. The Bible says, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Further on down, Jesus, because the Pharisees and those objected to that, Jesus said, what is easy to say? Thy sins are forgiven thee, or rise up and walk. Jesus, both of them are easy to say. But in reality, both of them are still hard to do. And make an impact in your life. So Jesus said, like you may know, but the Son of God has power and strength to forgive sin. Jesus said, rise up, take up your bed. And the man did that. He did it. And the Bible says that he walked out, a man forgiven. And he walked out. He did not go out as he came in. Forgiven man, but a man who was able to now walk. You see, in the Bible, walk speaks of how you live. How you live. And my friend, Jesus can give you a different life. He can change your life. He can give you a different walk in life. If you trust him and experience his forgiveness. His forgiveness. How is this brought about? As you look at these three stories, you realize there's one common thread beside Jesus and these stories woven throughout. And that thread of faith, Peter had it. Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. The man with this leprosy said, if you will, you can make me clean. He had the faith that Jesus could do it. The Bible said that when these four or these friends brought their friends to Jesus, he saw their faith. He saw their faith. And my friend, if you want to have this new life, if you want to be born again, if you want to have eternal life, whatever expression you understand, if you want to be a Christian, you must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in who he is and what he has done on the cross for you and for me. Faith. Taking God at his word. Most of you, all of us walked in here. We didn't check the benches to see if it could hold up. We just sat down. We just sat down. That's what God wants you to do in a greater way. Just sit down in Jesus. Just trust him to hold you. Just trust him to cleanse you. Just trust him to forgive you. Have faith in him. Have faith in Jesus. And as you see in the story, that none of these men remained the same because of their faith in Jesus. Peter left over and followed Jesus. And became the apostle Peter. The man who had left the sea. He went out clean. He went rejoicing. He went out happy and glad. The man who had left the sea did the same thing. My friend, that can be your posture tonight. You can leave this building. You can leave this structure tonight. A change in the doer. Not as you came in. For the person who have new life in Christ, forgiven, cleansed, and having the assurance that Jesus is in your heart, and that if you were to die tonight, that you'd be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But the question, as I close, is this. Do you want this new life? Do you want to be changed? My friend, it only takes a step of faith. I want you to turn in the redemption song book to 7273. Only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? What's be holding you back? Why aren't you a Christian? Why not take the offer of salvation to you? Come and thy sin confessing. To him thy Savior bow. Only a step. Only a step. Come. He waits for thee. Come and thy sin confessing, thou shalt receive a blessing. Do not reject the mercy he freely offers thee. 273 in the redemption song. Thank you. before we sing the last stanza. For heads bowed and eyes closed. My friend, if you were here, we want to give you an opportunity, as I said at the beginning, to come and experience this new life. Come to Jesus. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you from all your sins. He will turn your life around. You must turn, my friend, you must come. You must come and save you. And so I want to urge upon you, I want to encourage you to trust Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to the Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my sin. My friend, if you say those words, as short as they are, you mean it in your heart. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, we want you to do that tonight. Our Father, we pray for those who are here and do not know Christ as their Savior. We thank you for your word. We thank you for that the entrance of your word indeed brings light. And we pray that the light of the gospel of the grace of God may penetrate hearts to them. That there will be someone there, your Lord, many who are here and God know Christ. Recognize their state. Recognize the Lord Jesus as Lord and as Savior. And they will turn from their sins and be cleansed, O Lord, and be forgiven, even this evening. Lord, break down the indifference. Move through the cold and indifferent heart this evening. Minister your love to the heart of that individual or those individuals. And let them say yes to Jesus. And so, Father, again, we acknowledge that it's not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. Do a work, even now. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, we want to give you an opportunity to make a public declaration as we sing the last stanza. If God has spoken to your heart, and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want this new life, you want to sing the last stanza, I'll be standing to the front. You can come and join me. Maybe you're bashful, maybe you remain behind, and let's speak to someone. But my friend, do not leave. If God has spoken to your heart. The Bible tells us that you will now, if you accept the time, you will now the day of salvation. Stand before as we close out.